Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is Wednesday, hump day for some of you, June the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2015. As we march on along, the number that you could call if you wish to join me live tonight is 603-835-3224. That is 603-835-3224. Today was kind of, actually, for me, it was, I hope your day was wonderful. Today, for me, it was kind of a long day. You just get those, it was a hump day. You had to get over the hump. And I got over the hump. Although you will probably not notice it because I am a consummate professional, so I don't show it most of the time. But I am human, and I gotta tell you, ever since like Sunday, I have not been at 100% feeling my best. But you know, that's okay. Again, maybe it's this. Maybe I'm getting allergies, and as I get older, and this is what allergies feel like, I suppose, and now I know. So, and if this is the case, I don't like it. You know, well, hey, I'm human, just like everybody else. And so I will have to, well, I'll just have to deal with it. But what I'm not going to do at the moment is start loading myself up with drugs. I don't like drugs. So I will try to avoid drugs as long as possible. But, it is what it is. But, you know, it will be, I'm not going to try drugs. Not yet. Hopefully it won't be. I'm just not a person that likes to do drugs and take drugs and all that kind of stuff. But, it is what it is. And we'll see how it goes. I know a lot of people are talking about this thing down in Texas. The pool party down in Texas. And I have, you know, I always try to refrain from discussing this kind of stuff until at least more of the facts and evidence come out. And there is more fact and evidence that has come out. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about that, was it McKinney, Texas, and this pool party. Now, there's a number of things that we did not know the very first day, which is typical. And you have the left who always tries to jump to conclusions and make people think the worst of some of our men and women in uniform, first responders, police officers. But what we found out as time went on is that there was more to the story than what we first saw and first thought with the initial video. There happens to be another video that took place before, or that was recorded before the police arrived. Now, I'm going to say something that's probably going to get me in a little bit of trouble here. But you know what? This is, look, the rules of the community pool were being broken. That, get-togethers or parties of more than 20 people were prohibited. You weren't supposed to have a DJ or whatever, and evidently this DJ that was playing at this pool party, which then became an illegal event, then tweeted that more people should come down. Again, breaking the rules of the pool. Now, I don't know what people think that they get, they just because of their skin color, they get to break rules or something. But I got to say something. Black folks need to straighten up. Because if you saw the picture or the video before the pool party, now we don't know exactly what led up to the fight, but there's a fight. Two girls are fighting. Black girl and the white girl. And I got to tell you, black folk need to straighten their asses up. Now, I'm going to put it out there for you. They need to show that they can act like civilized human beings. You don't need to be out in the street fighting all the time. Now, this is evidently what brought the police. This and the fact that the pool party was illegal. That the pool party, the pool event, was breaking the rules. Plain and simple. Now, this is, so far, all the evidence that I have seen and the information that I've gathered, I'm going by this step by step. Now, hang with me here. Now, enter the police, because there's a disturbance. And you can see in the video before the police get there and in the video with the police, there are people all over the place. You don't see everything that is going on all around, the cop. The cop in question, which is Officer Eric Casebolt. You don't see everything going on. But there's a lot of people. There's some commotion. We don't know exactly what he's doing. I don't think he's jumping out of his cruiser and just starts pouncing on kids, teenagers. And I know some people say, well, then he pulled his gun out on teenagers. Well, he pulled his gun out on boys. And I got to tell you, I don't care if you're a teenager. It doesn't take an adult to take somebody else's life. It doesn't. We know this. And, maybe the cop, you could say he overreacted. There are people that say he overreacted. And looking at the video as is. Now, pay attention here. Looking at the video as is. He did overreact. Because he was not alone. If you look in the video, you see there are two other officers that start chasing down some other kids. So he wasn't alone. Now, at the same time, you don't know what was being said to him by these other kids. And quite frankly, tell you the truth, when you got black teenagers involved who do not respect the law as it is, they could have been saying anything. They could have been saying a number of threatening things to the officer. I don't know. We can't hear what they're saying. It's not there. Well, maybe it'll come out that they didn't say anything, or maybe it'll come out that they did say threatening things, or maybe they were just questioning what he was doing to the girl. But I don't think this was so racially motivated, at least on the part of the police. I think it was an incident that got started because it was something that shouldn't have happened in the first place. Follow the rules. Just follow the rules. That's all you got to do. Now, I guess, or a little bit earlier today, Eric, Officer Eric Casebold, resigned his position as police officer in McKinney, Texas. And I got to tell you, you know, he if the case is that nobody was harmed, thankfully. But if the case is that he overreacted. And this guy is supposed to have been, you know, a well-trained, highly trained officer that is trained in these types of situations or to deal with these types of situations. He obviously forgot that training. And he was, you know, called out on the mat. His chief of police, his boss, basically said that his actions were on the video were indefensible. I agree. You don't pull out the gun like, you know, unless your life is threatened or somebody else's life is threatened. And it didn't look that way. But again, we don't know what those kids were saying, and that he wasn't alone because two other officers came into the picture and started chasing down a couple of the suspects, I guess, if you want to call them that. So the police officer in question is no longer police officer there. He quit. So you have to ask, is that the end of it? Well, that probably won't be the end of it at all. Probably won't be the end of it. But at the same time, there's probably going to be more stuff that comes out about this, you know, on both sides. And I don't know which direction this is going to go. I can't tell you. But I can tell you that it was an incident that was, considering what was happening before the police were called, it was going to be an incident that was not going to end well because the police were going to be called, and the police were called. Now, again, look, I'm calling blacks out on the mat here. You know, there are cases where there is true improper profiling, and there are cases that there are true police racism. I don't believe this is one of them. And you cannot just start yelling racism every time a cop shows up. You got to start acting civil. You got to start acting like you're civilized. You got to start acting like you're intelligent. Because, you know, you got people out there, especially racists out there, who are saying that blacks are nothing more than animals. They're unintelligent. They're nothing but violence mongers. And you, by your actions, you prove them right. And I'm telling you, you know, like Bill Cosby said, it's time to pull up your pants, start speaking the Queen's English, and cut this nonsense crap out. You know, stop this thuggeriness. This is ridiculous. And if you're going to be in the suburb or in the city or wherever you go, you know, don't go around like you got acid on your feet, destroying everything that you step on. You know, I had an aunt, you know, she's long since passed away, but she used to say the same thing. She said, you know, these folk walk around here like they got acid on their feet. Everywhere they go, they destroy stuff. And, you know, if you look at certain neighborhoods, and this is just not only typical of blacks, but, you know, you can walk into any ghetto, I guess, and say the same thing no matter who's in it. But you have to look at blacks and say, enough is enough. You know, we got to stop, you know, accusing whitey of being racist and then looking to whitey for money, you know, in the form of some sort of government program or what have you. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard of. You know, go to the person that you think is actually oppressing you and get money from them. One, that's akin to extortion. And two, you know, you're saying he's your master. Plain and simple. So, you know, go out there, act like you're a human being. And frankly, I don't care what the color of your skin is. This is advice for all ethnic backgrounds. You know, when you're interacting out there in the public, act like you have manners, like you have some sense, like you're intelligent, like you're a human being and know how to interact with other human beings. Plain and simple. You don't go out there looking for fights. You don't go out there looking to break rules. You don't go out there trying to improperly engage the police. Because let's face it. Look, you're going to lose. If you improperly engage the police, you're going to lose. And you have more to lose than they do. Namely, your life. Now, I know that there are people out there who are going to think, wow, Rod is off the deep end on this one, man. He is so... No, I am dead on. And I have never been more serious about something in all my life. Black folk need to act like they're human, not animalistic. We got to cut this crap out. We have got to stop listening to these race pimps and race baiters. Every time there's a police interaction with the black community, that it's racism. Look, there are some white kids who are being chased down and bumped around, all that kind of stuff at this pool party. If you look at the videos, they just weren't targeting blacks. So, you know, but you got to also say, you know, it looks like that the girl that that Eric Casebolt, now it could be, it's hard to tell, but it looks like the girl that Eric Casebolt had pinned down was one of the girls involved in the fight in the previous video that happened before the cops arrived. Now, he probably wanted to talk to her, and she probably mouthed off or said something to him because that's, you know, that's what they do. And then there you go. And I know people feel emboldened a lot of times because they look at video and they see some of these people, you know, talking about how they put a cop in their place. Look, you got to be careful with that kind of crap. Because sometimes it's staged, for one. Some of it has been proven to be staged, and it's just not real. And sometimes it's not that the cops are just saying, you know, okay, well, we'll just let you go. You know, but they're busy with other matters, and they don't have time to deal with foolishness. And if they have no suspicion that you're hiding or doing anything illegal, they're going to let you go anyway. Now, you can be rude to a cop all you want, and if they don't have any suspicion to detain you, they're going to let you go. But you can facilitate the process by at least attempting to cooperate. You don't have to say a lot. You can just say, you know, no, officer, yes, officer. And free to go? Am I being detained? I'm free to go, officer. Thank you. Pretty simple. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be belligerent. Because you try that, you know, you should do like the comedian Fluffy. Gabriel Iglesias, you know, have fun with the cops. If they pull you over for some reason, try to make them laugh, have some fun. You know, they would love that. Lighthearted traffic stop. Most likely, you know, you get on a cop's good side and, they're more likely to overlook certain things or give you a warning and not a ticket. And if anything, you know, they might remember who you are for next time. And not even bother you unless you're doing something flagrant. You know, and be straightforward with them. You know, hey, know how fast you're going? No. I really don't. I thought I was doing the speed limit, but my head was in the clouds. I was thinking of something. Sorry, officer. I probably was exceeding the limit, but maybe, you know, I thought maybe it would, you know, I was doing 70 and a 65. I don't know. But if you know, you just say, yeah, I know. I was kind of in a hurry because I was late for this or that, you know, and I really don't do this often, but I apologize. And, you know, just be friendly, kind, courteous, and try to make them laugh too. I made a cop laugh once. A couple of days, I hit a deer and took out my front right headlight. And yeah, it was a couple of days later, and trooper pulls me over. Says, I pulled you over because you're missing a headlight. And I said, yeah, I know. Let me tell you, it's the most expensive way to bag a deer possible. And he looked at me kind of funny. He said, yeah, I hit a deer, and I have to get a new headlight. And let me tell you, it's going to cost a pretty penny. It would probably have been cheaper if I just got a hunting license and went out and shot the stupid thing. And he actually cracked up. And you know what? He didn't even ask for my license or registration. He just said, well, maybe you should avoid deer from now on. I said, trust me. You know, those stupid little deer things, they don't work. And he was cracking up going back to his cruiser. So, you know, just be kind and upfront with them. You know, they'll understand. They're human beings, for crying out loud. They can make mistakes just like the rest of us. I don't care, you know, what your training is. They can make a mistake just like the rest of us. But if you're going to act a fool, they're going to treat you like a fool. Plain and simple. If you are going to be utterly defensive and abusive, well, they're going to be abusive right back. So if you're going to act a fool and they show up, you know, you got to ask yourself, well, why are they showing up to begin with? Oh, it's probably because I was acting a fool. And then if you act a fool and they show up, then you really don't have much, nobody to blame but yourself. So don't act a fool. Don't stop all of this. You know, I see this stuff, this cop block stuff on Facebook and stuff like that. You know, quit it. Quit reading that crap. Because they don't give you both sides of the story. You know, I firmly believe that it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to film or video police officers doing their job. That's fine. But don't be using this stuff one-sided just to try to get the police in trouble, because it's going to backfire on you. It's going to backfire. And then one day when you really need them, and you probably will need them, they're not going to come as quickly as you thought they would. Or they may not be as understanding as you need them to be. So, yeah, sure, you know, pull out your camera and start recording, but make sure that you understand that you're not getting the whole incident, and that when you start showing that around, you tell people, well, this is my point of view from when I started filming, not this is what happened. Because evidently and obviously, such is the case in Texas, that first video, 7-minute video, that's not what happened. That's not the full story. We got somebody who shot some video earlier, before the cops got there. That gives us a more complete story, doesn't it? Oh, there's a fight, and they're not following the pool rules. Oh, well, maybe that's why the cops showed up.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
They made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
And we are back. WashingtonTimes.com. Another Texas story. Police in Overton, Texas, are in a little bit of hot water tonight. And not really, you know, legal hot water, but, you know, more of a public perception hot water. You know, it's kind of, but they didn't do anything. Well, I'm not going to say they do. They didn't do anything wrong. And they didn't violate. Well, let's just say they followed the law. And they didn't really do anything wrong because they were following the law. And actually, this has to do with the Overton, Texas police chief. He's the one that initiated this whole story from the Washington Times. And basically what happened was they forced, you know, let me give you a little bit of, let me just say this. When you have people in your local and state level who really just want to tell you how to live your life, you're going to run into this kind of thing quite often. And you're not going to like, and we're all just going to sit back and say, well, what are they doing, man? There's nothing wrong with that. I would have helped out, you know, these people. I would have, I remember those when I was a kid, if you're old enough. And, you know, or maybe you're one of the people that's, you know, yeah, I used to do that or have that when I was their age. But when you start electing people who think that they know what's best for you, all around, and then they want to tell you how to achieve what's best, what they think is best for you, and they're doing well. It's in the name of public safety. That's what it is. Public, you know, it's public. But police in Overton, Texas, forced a pair of little girls to shut down their makeshift lemonade stand after only an hour of doing business. Now, sisters Zoe and Andrea Green, 7 and 8, were trying to raise $105 for a Father's Day present to take their dad to Splash Kingdom. Now, the girls are always into making their own money, said their mother, Sandy Evans. Notice that their name is Green. Not sure either. We had kettle corn and lemonade, Zoe explained. Lemonade was for 50 cents. The kettle corn was a dollar, but if you got both, it was still just a dollar. She and her sister had been open for business about an hour on Monday and had made more than $25 when police showed up. A code enforcement officer and the chief of police, said, she called me to the side of and said we needed a permit. We needed a permit. Now, Texas House Bill 970 requires an inspection and permit for the sale of food that requires time and temperature control to prevent spoilage. Now, I don't. Does kettle corn require that? I don't. That probably the lemonade, right? I don't know. Now, she says, Miss Evans says, I think that's ridiculous. I think they're 7 and 8, and they're just trying to make money for their own cause. Now, Police Chief Clyde Carter explained, we have to follow by the state health guidelines. They have to have a permit if they're going to do the lemonade stands. Now, you got to understand, in order to get the permit, you got to have all kinds of, you know, code stuff, up to code. You got to have the equipment. You got to have power. You got to have a building. It's got to be, you know, certain types of equipment, commercial equipment or restaurant grade equipment. And it has to be zoned properly. You know, so the girls would never be able to, even if they got a permit, I don't think they'd ever be able to open up a lemonade stand. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Remember, people used to do that all the time. As kids, they'd have lemonade stands you can't even have in many communities across this country now, even just a water stand. I remember lemonade stands, you know, come on. People know what lemonade stands are. You know, and you would have, now I don't remember selling kettle corn. I think that's more of at least in the Northeast, it's more of a newer creation, you know, in the past 10 or 15 years or so for kettle corn, which is very good, by the way. But you might have had things like, you know, cookies, you know, home-baked cookies. Well, you can't do that, obviously. You know, Mrs. Fields, I think, got to start basically in a roadside stand, something like this. And, you know, there are businesses that did. You know, they got started just basically by being, you know, roadside stand. Now, a lot of people are trying to figure out, well, how could this possibly happen? She said, because the police chief, Clyde Carter, explained, we have to follow by the state health guidelines. They have to have a permit if they're going to do the lemonade stands. Now, Overton City Manager Charles Cunningham said selling lemonade at a stand is illegal according to state law. So there you go. They couldn't sell selling lemonade. It's just illegal. This is not a city ordinance, but a state law that we must enforce. We are not out looking for people selling lemonade. But in this case, the police chief was driving around and saw them in the road and stopped due to safety concerns. Now, Mr. Cunningham said the department spends most of their days looking for serious crime, but this was an exception. Now, I think this was just happenstance thing and not something our police do daily, do every day. This is a police chief talking. He says, I'm 72 years old, and when I was a kid, no one gave something like this a second thought. But over time, they're placing restrictions on everything. The Green Sister said they plan to take advantage of a loophole and set up their lemonade stand again this Saturday, only they'll be giving their treats away for free and accept donations. Now, since the local media covered the story, Mrs. Evans said the girls have received a wave of support and even received tickets to Six Flags and Splash Kingdom. So there you have it. If you give it away and just take donations, then you're not selling it. So that's the loophole. You know, now that everybody knows the loophole, they're probably going to move to close that loophole. But I don't know where society goes or what makes society think that they should, you know, pick on the smallest of us all. In this particular case, you know, the left always says, well, we're doing all of these to protect the children. Well, in this case, you know, the children want to be enterprising and they want to do stuff for themselves. And they're not being allowed to. I mean, they have to, what they're being taught is, hey, look for loopholes all over the place. That's what you have to do, is just look for the loopholes. And that's not a good way of, one, running a country, and two, having your citizens view their government. Oh, man, you know, let's look for a loophole to get around this crap. That probably means that the law should not be a law or a regulation in the first place, really. Just being frank, and frankly, you know, if a kid sets up a lemonade stand and they're 7 or 8 or 10 years old, I mean, really, you're gonna pounce on them? Now, what's next, of course, you know, after this story has obviously gone public, what's next for these little girls is the fact that they'll probably get a call from the IRS. The IRS wanting their piece of the pie. And it's, you know, it's not the first time. I remember, you know, there's the stories going all the way back to the 70s where a little boy, like 10 or 11 years old in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, being hit up on by the IRS because of his bait worm business. And somehow the IRS caught wind, hey, this kid's making money and he's not paying us any. And so, he had to go through all kinds of hoops and stuff. I guess he still ended up having to, pay a tax bill. And I think he even had to pay a small penalty for not filing or what have you. But it did the dumbest things. When you hit up your... when you make your... Now, I know some people are saying, well, Rod, those are the rules. Those are the laws. But when you make the laws and regulations and rules that do nothing but discourage and attack the youngest people in your community, in your society, you've got the wrong rules. You've got the wrong laws. You know, they need to be changed. No, I understand that there has to be some sort of, regulation on this kind of stuff. Otherwise, parents could just say, well, it's my kid's business. So there's got to be some sort of qualifier, sure, but you just don't start shutting kids down simply because, well, we just want to protect people. And then, and then forcing them to look for loopholes because, you teach a kid that this is how things get done. This is how you become successful is by, trying to skirt the law. Then you're just going to create problems in the future with that particular person, because they're just going to learn, we can skirt the law, we can slide by, or this is a gray area that we can sort of, take advantage of. And before you know it, they're probably ending up on American Greed or something like that. Really, this is not how you run a country, not a free country. Not how you run a free country. Hey, folks, yesterday there was somebody here I introduced to you. His name was Sam. Now, I actually got somebody sending me an email today asking me, I didn't know you could have somebody in your bunkerized home studio. Let me just say, Sam is not a real person, per se. I mean, he is real, but he's not a real person. And if you wanted, there is another person that wanted to know who Sam was. Well, his name is Samuel E. Buford, and he is the younger nephew, Samuel E. Justice, and he is the nephew of Buford T. Justice. Now, for those of you who do not know Buford T. Justice, you're going to have to go back and watch the Smokey and the Bandit historical documents. That's right. Buford T. Justice was the sheriff that was chasing down Bandit. He chased him across state lines and all that kind of stuff. And that's a true story, by the way, for those of you who didn't know. Smokey and the Bandit. It's all true. That's real footage of what actually happened back then. Just so you know. And Sam is actually Samuel E. Justice. Now, I'm told that the E in his name stands for Eagle. Samuel Eagle Justice. I haven't seen his birth certificate, so I'm going to believe him. And he's retired. He's retired now. As he tells me, he's been a sheriff in three different states. Three different counties and three different states. Now, I don't know how you do that, but he's an American's American, and he's a man's man, and he's a sheriff. And that type of stuff runs in his blood. Sam E. Justice is his name. And, he'll be around from time to time. He likes to sit around in the Bunkerized Home Studio now and just sort of observe what's going on. I'll let him speak from time to time. Every now and then you'll hear him. But yes, we have Sam. And there are other people that you hear me talk about every once in a while, but Sam is cool. He's cool for an older guy. Not bad. Just I wonder how many people are going to be sending me emails about that one. It's kind of funny though. You know, when you start hitting, when you start getting recognized, by the way, speaking of being recognized, tomorrow over, or I should say down in Eaton, Massachusetts at 7 p.m. It is, let me get the details for you. At 7 p.m. tomorrow, I will, at the Easton Republican, I'll be speaking for the Easton Republican Town Committee in Easton, Massachusetts, which is down by Foxborough, Massachusetts. For those of you who don't know where that is, you know, the Patriots play it in Foxborough. At 7 p.m. at the Nonprofit Management Center located on Belmont Street in Easton. And I think you can get more information, EastonRepublicanTownCommittee.com or .org or something like that. Just look it up. The chair over there is Patty Locke, L-O-C-K-E. And I'll be giving a rip-roaring keynote. So, you're going to want to be out there. And, if you're close by, just come visit, see me. No, you will not see Sam E. Justice there, but you will see your lovable host out there. So the program tomorrow, if you can't make it out there, is going to be a best of show here on the air. But we'll be back on Friday. And got other stuff coming. Don't forget to check out rodeckles.net. Because that'll give you, I think there's a schedule over there of events. And we're adding events. So you're going to want to keep track of that as well as, you know, don't forget to add me on Facebook, you know, Spreaker. If you go over to Spreaker, you can, you know, favor or follow the program over there on Spreaker. And you know, you can follow the Spreaker link over on rodeckles.net. Bernie Sanders was irked. He got irked. Bernie Sanders got irked by none other than NPR, National Public Radio. Because he was asked the question, or actually it was more like a statement. You have dual citizenship with Israel. Now, the reason why I bring this up, it isn't because that Bernie Sanders is a Jew with, you know, dual citizenship with Israel, which is not true, by the way. But that's not the reason why I'm bringing this up. I'm bringing it up because the host, the NPR host, Diane Rehm, R-E-H-M, was doing an interview with Senator Sanders, who's also running for the Democratic nomination for President of the United States, and he is hot on the heels of Hillary Clinton to steal it from the nomination from her. But she says, without, you know, matter of factly, Senator, you have dual citizenship with Israel, and this was earlier today, and Sanders immediately jumped in saying, no, I do not have dual citizenship with Israel. I'm an American. I don't know where that question came from. And it wasn't even a question, actually. If there was a question there, he didn't allow her to ask it because he jumped in. He says, I'm an American citizen, and I have visited Israel on a couple of occasions. No, I am an American citizen, period. Now, Rehm explained that she saw Sanders' name on a list of people with dual citizenship. Again, Sanders took offense to the comment. He said, that's some of the nonsense that goes on in the internet, but that is absolutely not true, he said. Now, Rehm then asked Sanders if he knew of any members of Congress who hold dual citizenship with Israel. And Sanders replied, "I honestly don't know, but I have read, that on the internet." He said, "My dad came to this country from Poland at the age of 17 without a nickel in his pocket. He loved this country." He says, "I get offended a little bit by that comment, and I know it's been on the internet, and I'm obviously an American citizen, and I do not have any dual citizenship." Now, later on Wednesday, Rehm issued an apology on her show's Facebook page. She said, "On today's show, I made a mistake. Rather than asking Senator and presidential candidate Bernie Sanders whether he had dual U.S.-Israeli citizenship, as I had read in a comment on Facebook, I stated it as fact." Now, here's the problem. You have somebody who's supposed to be a journalist who is asking even Bernie Sanders, I mean, asking a presidential hopeful, making a statement or asking a question based on something that they read in a Facebook comment. Facebook comment. Not a news story or anything. No real documentation. Just a comment on Facebook. Like, are you kidding me? Now our news questions or journalistic questions are going to be coming from comments made on Facebook pages? Look, Facebook is not a news source. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I realize that a lot of people get their news from Facebook. And frankly, if that's where you get the majority of your news or where you go to get your news, you're an idiot. That's not where you go to get news. Well, first of all, you can come here, listen to this program to get some real news and some real commentary. But a lot of that stuff on there, you know, you have to question, especially with a lot, the popular thing on Facebook is memes. And a lot of those memes have been disproven time and 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 time again. And yet people still get these memes and they still perpetrate these memes and they still pass around these memes and they still share these false narrative memes. And now you're going to start telling me that you're going to start asking candidates and other people in power questions or make statements based on a comment on a Facebook page. Now, I don't know if, people must be think we stupid. Well, yeah, they do think we're stupid. I want to say we're really not that stupid, but if Americans are actually believing this stuff, and you got journalists who are actually starting to pay attention and ask questions based on that, and you got to ask yourself, as voters of this country, are American citizens, have we become that disinterested and that simplified in our thought processes? This is absolutely unheard of. Oh, yeah. Hey, I got this statement or this question from a comment on Facebook. I read it. Look, it was on the internet. It has to be true. Not only was it on the internet, it was on Facebook. And not only was it on Facebook, it was on a Facebook comment to probably some meme that was obviously true. So, Mr. Sanders, do you have dual citizenship? Huh, huh, huh. Are you calling the person on the Facebook comment a liar? Huh, huh, huh. You got to have a dual citizenship, don't you? Yeah, you do. I know you do. You're lying if you say you don't. Facebook.